Thank you, choir. Now, I know our service is longer than usual today, but hey, this only happens every 175 years. And the meal is waiting on us, so you don't have to go to a restaurant and get a seat and order and wait for it to come, okay? So, it's time now for us to hear for a few minutes from God's Word. Our text has already been read from Isaiah chapter 51. We want to think about that together for a few minutes. Let's join together in prayer. And so now, Father, as we look into your word, we ask that you would open our minds and our hearts, that we would hear and receive what you would say to us today on this very special occasion. Help us, Lord, to be open to you and to your work in our lives and in our life together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 175 years is a milestone that's worth celebrating, and a celebration like this is a wonderful time of worship and fellowship when we renew old acquaintances. It's sort of like a spiritual family reunion with a worship service. It's a time to look back to the past, but it's also a time to look toward the future. It's a time of celebration and anticipation. It's a time of contemplating our ancestry and our destiny, thinking about where we've come from, where we've been, where we're going, reflecting on who we are and whose we are, what we've been, what we will be. It's about giving thanks to God for what He's done and looking forward to what He will do. Or to put it another way, it's about heritage and hope. Heritage and hope. And we're doing all this in the present, right now. Now, it wasn't an anniversary service, but the prophet was doing the same kind of thing in the reading that we heard from Isaiah 51 earlier in our service today. This was a word for the exiles in Babylon. They'd been taken into Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar's army primarily in two waves, the first in 598 B.C. and the second around 587 B.C. And though circumstances were very difficult in Babylon during the first part of this exile, in time things got better. And the people began to settle down. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah had told them that they needed to do that in a word from the Lord. But from the beginning, there were always those who wanted to go back home to Judah. They wanted to see Jerusalem and Judah restored, and the temple and the city rebuilt, and its walls rebuilt. They wanted to worship the Lord there once again. Well, this word from the Lord through the prophet was for them. The Lord called to those who were pursuing righteousness and who were seeking Him, and He said to them, "Look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and Sarah, who bore you." He was calling them to remember their ancestry, both physical and spiritual. He reminded them how He had blessed and multiplied Abraham, and thus that included all of his Hebrew descendants. And then the Lord promised that He would comfort Zion, looking on all her ruins with compassion. He would make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness, thanksgiving and singing would be found in her. His blessing of deliverance and restoration would be on Zion, referring to Jerusalem and the Jewish people. But that wouldn't be all. There'd be more. Through His deliverance and restoration of the people, the Lord would demonstrate His law, His justice, His righteousness, and His salvation to the nations, foreshadowing the mission to the Gentiles following Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension to glory. And though the heavens and the earth would pass away, His salvation would last forever. Forever. His righteousness would never fail. And indeed, because later in Isaiah and in multiple times in the New Testament, we're told that just as God created the heavens and the earth and then became incarnate in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will, at the end of history, recreate new heavens and a new earth where righteousness will dwell forever. And so the prophet encouraged the faithful by pointing them to God's past work and His future promises. I think we can learn a lot from this text about how to celebrate an anniversary like this. To begin with, shouldn't it be about remembering what God has done? Remembering what God has done should quickly give rise to a sense of gratitude in our hearts. We should obviously be thankful for His gracious work and His great redemptive plan. We remember God's story of creation and incarnation and recreation. He created the universe and everything in it. He created us humans in His own image to be in fellowship with Him. But what did we do? We rebelled against Him. We went our own way, chose our way rather than His way, falling from what He created us to be and from a right relationship with Him. And yet, throughout history, He has always worked in redemptive ways through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants. Through the Exodus, the wilderness wanderings, the conquest of Canaan, and the judges, King David, then King Solomon, then the divided kingdom, through priests and prophets and wise men and wise women. And in time, just as His dealings in the Old Testament times foretold and prefigured and foreshadowed, God the Son took on flesh in Jesus the Messiah. He became incarnate, uniting His divine self with our humanity, becoming one of us. He showed us what it looked like to live as God intends for us to live, to the point of obeying the Father, even though it meant death on the cross. Through that death, He sacrificed Himself for our sin, and He conquered sin, Satan, and death. He rose from the dead on the third day, victorious and vindicated, and then 40 days later, He ascended into heaven, where He is seated at the Father's right hand. He sent His Spirit at Pentecost to be in the church and with the church, and through the person of the Holy Spirit, the triune God is present with us, living in us personally as disciples and among us corporately as the church, the body of Christ. And He'll come again to raise the dead and judge the world in righteousness. And then, just as we will not only have experienced the redemption of our spirits, but also our mortal bodies in the resurrection at the last day, He'll recreate the universe, everything, new heavens and a new earth, where righteousness will dwell forever, and God will dwell with His people throughout all eternity. Because the Lord Jesus is God's crucified, risen, reigning, and returning Messiah, how we respond to Him determines whether we're in a right relationship with God and thus our eternal destiny. So indeed, we're grateful for God's gracious work in His redemptive plan and purpose. But we should also remember and be grateful for our spiritual ancestors. As we celebrate these 175 years today, we think of those who are going before us and those who have gone before us. If you grew up in this church, or if you were a part of this church for any length of time, just as Sarah did in the children's sermon, you can point to someone or several someones whom God used in your life and in your journey with Christ. Maybe a Sunday school teacher, or a lay leader, a choir director, a pastor, a staff minister, a director. Maybe someone who didn't hold an office but carried a significant ministry of encouragement or example. Take a moment right now to think of that person or those people who may or may not still be with us, and give thanks to God for them. We look back today on that band of 31 Christians, many of whom had been worshiping as a branch of the Maharon Baptist Church, meeting here within the town of Murfreesboro since 1842. And they understood that it was time for this branch of Maharon to become a congregation in its own right, an independent church. We look back on a host of other faithful saints, ministers, and lay people who over the past 175 years have served God faithfully in this place. But our roots don't just go back to and through these faithful folks. They go back farther, back to the Baptists in England who arose as radical reformers in the 17th century out of the earlier 16th century Reformation of the church in the West. And through the Reformation to the faithful within the church throughout the Middle Ages and back through them, back through the medieval church, to the ancient church of the first four centuries, and through it back to Jesus and the 12 apostles. Friends, whether we realize it or not, the roots of our church go very, very, very deep. And so we thank God for a wonderful heritage. And as we look back at that heritage, we think about how we can learn from those gone before us. Through the ups and the downs, the prosperity and the adversity, the great opportunities and the difficult challenges and the ebb and flow of life as a congregation, they trusted God for guidance and provision. They understood the crucial role of Christian education and Christian higher education and the impact that these can have, resulting in a close relationship with and support for Chowon, first as a female institute, then a college, and then a university. We've always had this close and unique relationship from the very beginning of both our church and the school in 1848, and we still cherish that relationship today. And through all these 175 years, God has been guiding and providing for the Murfreesboro Baptist Church, with many of her pastors serving both the church and the school. And so we give God thanks today. As the psalmist put it in Psalm 16, verse 6, the lines have fallen for us in pleasant places, and we indeed have a goodly heritage. And we look back to that heritage today. But a major church anniversary like this shouldn't just be about looking to our heritage. It should also be about looking forward to what God will do, looking forward to the future in hope. We look forward to how God will continue to work out His great eternal purpose and plan for the ages to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, Jesus Christ. We look forward to how God will continue to work out His purpose for this church, that through this church, God will demonstrate His manifold witness, His manifold wisdom to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms as we grow in unity toward maturity in Christ. We look forward to how God will work in us and among us and through us as a congregation in the coming years as we seek to love God and follow Jesus and serve others. I believe God still has much He wants to do through this congregation in Murfreesboro and beyond. And we look forward to the life everlasting, the promise of heaven, that all who are trusting in Jesus as their Lord and Savior have the calm assurance. And when we leave this life, we go to be with the Lord as we await the resurrection and the new creation when Christ returns in glory. And all this, all these things give us a joyous hope. But now, focusing on our past and our future is still not quite enough. As we look back to our heritage and ahead to our future, shouldn't that help us know how to live? Shouldn't it impact how we live as disciples of Jesus? How we live as a congregation? Both the past and the future should shed light on the present. For better or worse, who we've been, what we've done, have shaped our identity. God's gracious promises, His intentional work, and our faithful response should shape our identity and our actions going forward. To live in light of both the past and the future will mean that we're rooted in the past and faithful in the present as we lean into the future. Our past will be a rudder to guide us, not an anchor to hold us back. We'll lean into the future, but we won't neglect the present and its kingdom opportunities. We'll honor those who've gone before us, and we'll strive to become who God wants us to be and to do what He wants us to do. And we'll do all this in humble dependence on God, realizing more fully than ever that it's really all about Him, not us. You see, our heritage and our hope shape how we live now as Christians and as a church. We celebrate the past, we live in the present, and we lean into the future as we follow Jesus there. And it all comes together at an anniversary like this. So thanks be to God for our heritage and our hope. Amen. This morning, we're going to sing number 566, O God, our help in ages past. Make that a prayer of thanksgiving as we sing. And as we sing, if there are commitments that you're making today that you need to express, we invite you to come and share those, especially if you're trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Number 566, O God, our help in ages past. Thank you for being with us today and celebrating with us. And now we get to go share in fellowship around the table. And we hope that you'll be able to stay for that and join us for it. We're going to go ahead and have our blessing for the meal here in the sanctuary. And please stay as long as you want to today. I know there are folks that you haven't seen in a long time that you'll want to talk to. I know that you'll want to speak to the former pastors and others. And so we look forward to the fellowship around the tables. Let's join together now in prayer. And so, Lord, for all we have shared in today in worship, as we have celebrated your work in and through this church for the past 175 years, and for all we look forward to your doing in the years to come, we give you thanks. As we go now to share in our meal, we thank you for it. We pray that you would bless both the food and the fellowship, that the food might strengthen our bodies and the fellowship our spirits, both for our journey with and our service to you, in the strong name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so go now, rejoicing in all that God has done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do. And as you go, may the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated for the postlude.